Well, I am excited this morning. Brother Dwayne Swanson is an amazing friend of ours. He's been at the fellowship forever. He's part of our actually Sunday night men's fellowship that we have every Sunday night. Yet he has been in a place where he has been having to Zoom in. So we put our little computer screen up, and Dwayne comes in on the stool next to us every week, and he has just been through a whole lot in the last year and a half or so. I'm sure he's going to be sharing some of that with us. And I think about, you know, what we're told in Romans 8:28, where it says, all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And that word all, that's what it means all. It doesn't say some things, it means all things. And yet, as I'm sure, again, our brother Dwayne is going to be sharing, some of the things that he has been going through the last year and a half are just some heavy things. And you got to say, wow, Lord, is this one of those things that can work for good? And I know it can, because God told us it can. So Dwayne's going to, in fact, Dwayne, where are you, buddy? Come on up. I'm going to pray with you real quick. Glad to have this guy here. So we don't have the ketchup. We have the ketchup. We don't have the mustard shirt today. We got the ketchup shirt. Coming up, we're just going to agree. God will just work through you today, okay?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for this special brother, and I just thank you, Lord, that I believe he just had chemo yesterday, Lord, that he's healthy enough to be here today, Lord, and I believe you've given him just a special word to share with us today. So I pray your spirit would fill this guy, Lord. I pray the things that I'm sure he has pondered and thought about talking about, Lord, you would put those in order, and Lord, that most of all, that it would just glorify you. So again, we pray your spirit upon our brother Dwayne now, and we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I didn't know Alex could sing that low. I've only heard him sing high before. That's pretty impressive range. So, good morning, everybody. Some of you know me well, some of you don't. I thought I would just give a little bit of a bio background. I came to the Lord in 1979 on January 8th at 1:15 in the morning. And I was reading a Living New Testament, and the Lord met me there in the middle of the night in my dorm room at Cal State Long Beach. And it started with me and Jesus and the Word. And through the years, through ups and downs, his presence has made things more beautiful when they're good, and he's strengthened me when they're down. The next morning when I got up, it seemed that the bird songs were prettier. The sky was bluer, the grass was greener, everything was enhanced because I had had a little bitty tiny foretaste of the new heaven and the new earth that we're all going to. And so through my life, there's been episodes when everything's been stripped away, when churches have failed, terrible things have happened, unexpected things, and I'd lose things that I thought that I couldn't live without, and I'd be in the night, couldn't sleep, praying and saying, God, I just can't do this. And he would come to me and says, if you don't have blank, whatever I lost, am I enough? And I would have to come back and say, yes, Lord, if I only have you, it's enough. And when things would happen that were really great and stuff that I hoped for and was almost had and it was suddenly gone, when my first marriage ended, and it looked like I was going to be single the rest of my life, and I longed so much to have somebody to walk with, and I was crying to the Lord, and he says, and he says, if you only have me, and you have to raise your two kids without anybody else, am I enough? And the answer always became, yes, you are enough. But I didn't get to those points until it got stripped away all the other things I was counting on. And so what I learned through this last year is all of those things, the highs and the lows, God was preparing me. And so what do? When the unexpected thing happens in our life that we never thought would happen, something so overwhelming, so unexpected, that we just don't know what to do. So I'm going to share with you what's happened the last couple of years. That kind of gives you a backdrop of seeing how God prepares and how thorough he is and how that he is reliable He is constant. He is solid, even when we are not. The past couple of years have been a time of growth. I've grown closer to my wife in the last 2 years than in the previous 39 years. We've had a good marriage, a great marriage, but nothing has brought us closer than the cancer of the last 2 years. In 2019, Vista had a planned trip to Peru, to the highlands in Peru and the 10,000-foot Andes, and I was planning to go on that. Knowing that the oxygen at 10,000 feet is 50% at sea level, I knew I had to strengthen my body to be able to be useful to the Lord when we got there. So I started training and stepping up my workouts and increasing the fitness level of my heart and lungs. I went from the treadmill to the Stairmaster, doing 35 to 50 floors every other day as fast as I could, and increasing my strength and my swimming workouts and breathing less to increase my cardiovascular capacity. And I'm planning, I'm going to be ready for this mission trip. I thought I knew what was going to happen. But in December 2019, the unexpected happened. Something totally caught out by surprise and out of the blue. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what was coming. But God knew. God knew it was coming. God knew it was coming. I had my usual physical exam in December. I always get an annual checkup just to make sure everything's going okay. And did the blood work and all the labs and everything. And the doctor said, everything looked good. I'm fine to go. No problem. Just renew your current prescriptions. But from the previous August, I'd had a little problem in my system which wasn't right. My bowel movements had gotten really pale. And thought that was strange. Had testing done. Everything looked okay. There was no indication of anything wrong with my liver, which is the first place you check. And so I went through several changes for several months, and I kind of pushed the doctor about it and said, something's got to be causing this. Part of that was because Debbie was saying, something's got to be causing this. Well, something's happened. Something's changed in your body. And so we went on, and I pressed the doctor about that. Shouldn't we check this? And finally, he kind of relented, went and talked to his colleagues, and they said, well, let's do a CT scan, just to be sure. They were sure there was nothing wrong, but I think it was mostly just to reassure me that everything was okay. Well, the next day, on my birthday, December 17th, 2019, the doctor called. His voice was shaking. He was obviously upset. He said, Mr. Swanson, we found a mass on your pancreas. I didn't know what that meant, but I knew it was trouble. Totally by surprise. We'd been hearing about Alex Trebek and his battle with four-stage pancreatic cancer, and it was something that just jumped right in the back of my mind, and it was scary. I had to tell my wife. You know, the doctor was upset because he thought he missed it. He could have missed it. If he hadn't done that CT scan, I wouldn't be standing here today. I didn't know what was going on during those 4 months. There was something growing in my body that was death. And I didn't know it, but God knew. God knew it was coming. God knew the news was coming. God knew the timing of it all. I told my wife, and we were both stunned and shocked and scared and wondering what's going to happen, and we clung to each other and prayed together and tried desperately not to let our minds start running off in this wild imagination of what might be and what's going to happen. The doctor had already scheduled a test down in San Diego at the Balboa Naval Hospital to do a gastroenterology exam. They scheduled me for an ultrasound and some needle biopsies, and they confirmed the diagnosis that it was adenocancer of the pancreas, one of the most deadly kinds. Debbie made the mistake of going on the internet, see what it had to say. It scared the heck out of her. The general prognosis for somebody with adenocancer of the pancreas is 6 months to a year. 6 months to a year. My very helpful daughter, I'd called her and I sent her a text message because she doesn't do phone that much. And so her response was, "How long do you have?" Now, that's not very supportive. And so I responded, "Well, where is your faith?" My faith wasn't so strong at the time, but I felt like I need to encourage my daughter. So the word got out to my family, and we got the diagnosis and met with the physician at Balboa who was going to plan to do the surgery, and they planned 3 months of chemotherapy to try to knock down the tumor some, then do surgery in the middle of the year. And so that began, and then he was called by the Navy and put on the list to go for deployment. So he was no longer to be the surgeon, but he had done team surgeries with a specialist at Scripps. And he set me up with that doctor as he was going to assist in the surgery. So it turned out that he was a doctor that did the surgery in June. So started in the chemo treatments and all the preparations and for the surgery. And the thing of it is, I had to remind myself my life was fully in God's hands. So if you could put up the first slide, I think. Yeah. See, that's something I need to remember. I'm sure, absolutely sure, like Paul said, that neither death nor life nor cancer nor angels nor rulers nor things present or things to come or powers or height or depth or anything else in all of creation can separate us from the love of God. There is no taking us out. God is greater than cancer. We found a little plaque we put up on our wall. One of the first things says, "Things cancer cannot do." It says, "Cancer cannot take away hope. Cancer can't destroy love." And a list of other things. So if we go to the second slide then. Oop, right on. He's on target. So I went to the specialist. So now Debbie and I knew the cancer was there. See, beforehand, God knew I was going to need more physical strength than I ever had before to endure the stresses of the chemo and the surgery and everything else. Because you see, when you go into something physical like this, the stronger you are going in, the better you are coming out. So I came to understand God prepared us. I thought I knew what was going on, but God really did know. And he chose the right time to show it to me. So we need to remember something about God. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10 says, "Remember the former things of old. For I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying that my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." So, what does that mean when God says that he's declaring the end from the beginning? I put the question out to you guys. What do you think? Somebody give me an answer. What does that mean when God says he knows the end from the beginning?
God gets what God wants all the time.
That's a good answer. Yes, you.
He knows you when you're...
Yep. That's a very, very good answer. And even more than that, for each of us, God knew us, and he knew everything that was going to happen in our lives, every mistake we would make, every good choice we would make, everything from the time you were one cell in your mother's womb, everything. Every mistake you were going to make, he already made provisions to correct it and re-guide you back onto the path he's designed for you. Everything. We don't need to be afraid of making a choice and, oh no, is that the right thing or the wrong thing? Even if it's a totally wrong thing, God brings it around. He brings you back on course. And that wrong thing, he trains you, he teaches you, he puts you in contact with people that you might never meet otherwise, and he brings good out of it. Everything. See, Steve told part of my message here when God turns everything for good. Those that love God. Doggone it, you'd think the Holy Spirit was involved. So So, moving on. Yep, everything. See, the thing about that Isaiah thing, it almost sounds like a blanket statement, but it's not just a blanket statement. Though Jesus, through Jesus, it becomes a statement to each of us. You know, a lot of things in the Old Testament were spoken to a group of people, the nation of Israel, or like the nation, like the city of Nineveh, when Jonah went to prophesy to them. He went to them and told a group of people, but in Jesus, in the new covenant, it becomes personal. It's individual. It's one by one. All those nation promises can be applied to us in our day-to-day living. God was not surprised by my cancer diagnosis. He has not been surprised that anything has just happened to you or your family. He will not be surprised by what happens tomorrow or the next day or next week. He will prepare you for whatever is coming. Now, another nation promised to Israel. Back in Exodus 23:20, God spoke to Moses. He says, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way, to bring you into the place that I've prepared." That was the verse that God gave to me in 1985. We were preparing to travel from Virginia Beach, Virginia, to Long Beach, California. The Navy was sending me. We had to pack up our stuff. We had to move. We didn't know what was going to await us. We didn't know where we were going to live, what it was going to be like. I had lived in the LA area some 25 years before, or about 20 years before. And so it was a guarantee to us at the time. God made that scripture jump out of the page when I was reading in my daily Bible reading. And he was telling me that he was going to get us across the country safely, on time, and he had a place prepared for us before we got there. We didn't know where it was, but I could tell my wife, God's got a place for us. And just like when he moves you or sends you or keeps you, he has a place prepared for each one of you, a place that's designed just for what you need and just at that time of life. So technically that promise was to the nation of Israel. Next one, Isaiah 35:8. The Holy Spirit wrote through Isaiah, "And a highway shall be there. It shall called be the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even though they are fools, they will not go astray." That's God's promise to keep you on the highway he's planned for you. My highway, designed by God, is not your highway. I can't compare the details of my journey to yours. However, the promise of keeping me on the road is still there. God has a plan, a highway plan for your life, day by day, place by place, with places you stop on the way and then keep traveling, and places you stop on the way until you get to that final destination, the eternal heaven and the new earth. And so the promise is a guarantee that we will successfully complete the journey of life, no matter what happens, no matter what goes up, what goes down. Nations can rise, nations can fall, the mountains can be cast into the sea, the United States could crumble into 50 squabbling states as individual nations, and he will keep us. We will not fail, he will not fail. And as we stay close to him, as the world around us gets darker, our light looks brighter and brighter and brighter. If I put a candle up here, you're barely going to see it. But shut off all these lights and it'll light up the whole room and you can see each other, just a single candle. It's just amazing what a little light will do when the darkness is big. So that promise technically was given to Israel, and they faced the impossible conquest of Canaan. These were slaves. They weren't warriors. They were wandering in the desert for 40 years. Sure, their clothes didn't wear out and their sandals still fit, but they didn't have any way to buy swords or build swords or create weapons. They really didn't even have farm implements because God gave them the manna. They didn't have to do farming. They're just people. That's one of those nation promises, but in the New Testament, all believers, Jews and Gentiles are brought near and be fellow heirs of the promises of God. That's a promise. That's one of those individual promises. God is going to get us there, no matter what. Each of us on the highway designed us from that. Nothing can keep us from reaching the next way station, the place you stay, where you rent, where you buy a home, before God moves you to another place. You might stay in the same place. Maybe that's your way station before you get to heaven. Some of us, like people have military careers, we can go on and on and on, and every 3 years we're moving. It's kind of a miracle. Debbie and I have been in the same house now for almost 23 years. Neither of us lived anywhere that long before. Nothing can keep us from surviving, and all of creation can keep us from surviving and even thriving along that road. Even when you go into a dark valley along that road, God can cause you to thrive. God has prepared a way just for you, each one of you. Say with me, please, God has prepared a way for me. It's true. Believe it. God has prepared a way for you, and He's walking you down that road. Even if it's foggy and you can't see the stripe in the middle or the shoulder, the Bible says that if a blind man is walking down the highway, he'll hear a voice behind him saying, "This is the way, walk in it." If you need to turn left, he'll say, "Turn left." If you need to turn right, he'll say, "Turn right." If he doesn't say anything, keep walking straight ahead. When we're going through this stuff, Debbie put up little signs on the cupboards in the kitchen. One of them says, if you don't hear the Lord's voice, remember, the teacher is always silent during the test. It's a little saying. Debbie likes these little sayings she grabs a hold of. She has another one that says, Lord, why are you putting me in this storm? God says, because I know your enemy can't swim. She's got a dozen of them. So when unexpected becomes so overwhelming or so hard, you need to know, and you think you can't go on, God is already there. And with all the things you need to have, another one of these things for my wife, God always gives you exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. Not before, not after, but when it comes, it's exact. God is precise in His timing. He doesn't just throw it out here and there. He is exact. Think of how long God prepared Israel before they ever crossed the Jordan River into the place He promised. Back in Genesis, God spoke to Abram even before he had been renamed Abraham, the father of many nations. Then the Lord said to Abram, "Know for certain your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land. They will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years, but I will execute judgment on the nation they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions." Genesis 15:13-14. Way back then, when God spoke to Abraham before Isaac was born, God began preparing Israel for the battles they'd face in the land they'd give them over 400 years before they ever set foot in Canaan. It might be hard to accept, but even their cruel bondage in Egypt was part of the preparation. Through it all, God was training them, just like He trains us. He was not training them in the arts of warfare. He was training them in every possible way to put their trust and their confidence in Him and to strip away any trust or confidence they had in themselves. God did not know what they would face. God was asking them to believe what he had promised he would surely do. Today, on a personal, individual basis, he prepares us for these things we will face because God really does know what has happened and will make sure that you are prepared for it before it ever happens. The events or facts of the situation that take you by surprise may seem like it's just too much to keep going. I mean, I've had things in my life where I just said, this is too much. And that was before the cancer. But it always brought you back to, God is there. He has a hold of me. With him, I can. If I have him, he has me, and I can. And so can you. Everything he's been doing in your life to this very second has been preparing you for what will happen the next second, even putting up with my stories. So, you may not feel that you can face whatever happened or what might happen, what you're afraid might happen. Like Job said, that which I greatly feared has come upon me. And it happened to him. But there is a time, and it always is true, that truth can overcome facts of a situation. So the truth is, God has prepared a way for you, the highway of holiness, and he has prepared you for the way that he has prepared. That's something to take to the bank. God has prepared a way for you to walk. And he has prepared you for that way. Every bump, every high spot, every low spot, he is not sloppy. He is detail-oriented, even if you're not. He has prepared you completely. You might not feel like it. You might feel weak. You might feel like, I just can't go on. I look at all this information, these facts, these 6 months to a year to live, the deadly prognosis. My wife, who I have shared life with for years and years, is suddenly gone and there's a hole in my heart. I can't handle it. I'm crumbling. I can't stop crying. But he has a hold of me and he picks me up. And I keep going because he never fails. He never, never, ever fails. That was the first lesson that God taught us with the beginning of the cancer. And he's been reinforcing it for the past almost 2 years now, and I'm not dead yet. God knows how long I have. Both my parents lived to 86. I might live to 86. The doctor said it's really common for people with my current level of cancer suppression that I'm getting every 2 weeks to live into their 80s. I had a grandfather live to 103. When his wife passed, when he was 70, he was so heartbroken. He used to go out and walk as fast as he could, as hard as he could, trying to give himself a heart attack so he could go be with her. And what did that do? That made him so healthy, he lived an extra 43 years. It totally backfired, but God had a plan for him too. So, I'm really tempted to keep going. I had another lesson I wanted to share, but one thing God has really impressed on me, and all the time of preparation, he says, don't go beyond what I give you to say. I can jabber on about Jesus forever. It's my favorite thing to talk about. But you know, I think this is as far as he wants me to go today. The Lord kind of has put patterns in my life. You know, I first got to speak to a church just before I joined the Navy in 1979. The pastor asked me to come up, and I had a few things to say, and I ended up using all of his sermon time. And then I apologized for talking so much. And he said, never apologize for saying what God gives you to say. Well, then in 2000, I was invited to be a speaker at a men's conference and got to share there, and the Lord gave me stuff, and I surprised everybody because I didn't use the full time. The pastor of that church said, The guys were most impressed that you stopped a little early. Well, it was a session before lunch. They were hungry. So now here I am today in 2021. So there's a pattern. 279 to 2021 years. 2000 to 21 is 21 years. So in 2042, I can give you the rest of the message. So I'll be 91. If the Lord hasn't come back, the rapture hasn't happened. But there's just one more thing I have to mention. I've mentioned a lot of really great promises from God, assurances from God that He's solid, He's there. He meets every need. He prepares you. He carries you through. He makes sure you get to your destination. But there is a catch. There is a catch to it all. Those promises of God are only and always, but only yes in Jesus Christ. If you do not belong to Jesus Christ today, those promises are not yes for you yet. You see, the door to God's promises are locked. They're locked only for His people. But there is a key that unlocks the door, and it's Jesus. When Jesus died and rose from the dead, He unlocked the door. But what He didn't do was open it. He offers the invitation. He offers His love. He offers His promises. He offers the riches of fellowship with Him in this life, which makes the good things brighter and richer and more vibrant, adds a cushion and strength when things are dark. But He leaves it up to us when He knocks on the door to open up the door and say, come on in, I'm ready, I'm going to follow you. So if any of you have not yet fully and completely surrendered to Jesus, if there's anything you're holding back, open up the doors of those closed rooms to Him. Let Him take over every single tiny dark facet of your life and hold nothing back. If you haven't accepted Him, do it today. He's waiting for you to open the door. He's unlocked it. He's done everything except open the door and step through it. And He's a gentleman. He doesn't kick the door down. But He's very persistent and He never gives up. Never, ever. So, let's pray then. Lord, You're so good. So good. So unimaginably good. You love us so deeply. So deeply. And Lord, just if there's hidden parts of my heart, hidden parts of any of these men's hearts that they held back from You or were ashamed to reveal or thought that by revealing them that they would be hindered in their walk with You, but by revealing the darkness, You redeem the shame. You change the failures into a velvet backdrop for the shining diamond of Your mercy and grace and how good You are. But help us not to be afraid to be revealed and unhidden before You. So if any of you, I'm going to just lead you in a prayer of salvation for any of you who want to receive Jesus. So say in your heart after me, Lord, I know that I'm not what I should be, and I don't have what I long for, and You are the answer to all the questions, and You are the one that forgives all the sins. You're the one that takes the shame and turns it into shine. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Help me to walk with You forever, starting this very moment. And Lord, for those that belong to You, bring Your flashlight of truth and mace and grace and mercy into those dark corners of our closets and help us to not be afraid, to be open and to let You and see what You can do with that thing that we thought was unforgivable or unuseful or so crushing that we can't let anybody see it or even talk about it. Let us trust You that You can do something wonderful even with those things. We commit ourselves to You today. And I thank You for the opportunity to share. And I just pray, Lord, You might break that pattern and I could share again before 19 or 2042. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I want to recommend a couple of books to you guys. This one is an incredible, very thorough study on why heaven is a real, solid, physical, tangible place. It's not just going back to Eden. It's taking what Eden was before corruption hit the universe and making it even better. This explains the reasons why and why we have a hard time really grasping that so vital truth. This one is a simpler one, easier to read, but it covers the same thing, talking about how the new heaven and the new earth satisfy our deepest longings, because God's put eternity in our hearts and put a longing for those truths. And everything we have in this life that's good is just a little appetizer foretaste of what it's going to be. And so the best things of life, I want more. And there is more. And it's better. And we'll have a mind and a body that can fully experience the wonder of it all and not miss out on anything. So God bless you guys in Jesus' name.